Forgiving others is critical from the word of the Lord within. Salvation is not judging. As your eyes are closed to the sins of others, so doubly are my eyes closed to yours. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Luke 6:37. Forgiveness is the key to spiritual progress. Unless we forgive the injustices done to us, we do not receive the forgiveness of God for our transgressions. Look at the Lord's Prayer. There is only one requirement for us identified in it: forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We forgive to become free of the disease of resentment, which eats away our peace, our love, and our happiness. We forgive and don't take revenge, knowing that vengeance is reserved to God. Vengeance is mine. Deuteronomy 32:35, Psalm 12:17-19. George Fox wrote, "Forgiveness is more than with the mouth." From the word of the Lord within, forgive and forget. Forgiveness is everything. The challenge for all of us in this life is to forgive and forget. We can know something is wrong, attempt to forgive in our mind, but can't forget, which prevents us from forgiving in our heart. The symptom of this bondage is to constantly recall the circumstances of the injustices and replay them in our minds, which only reinforces our resentment of the original injustice. The Lord is our example. As he was crucified, he prayed for the Father to forgive those who were crucifying him, for they didn't know what they were doing. He is the ultimate example. There is no greater injustice than for his own people to have crucified him, when he had healed entire cities of every sickness and disability, raised the dead, restored the sight of the blind, and spoke nothing but truth. Yet as he was in unimaginable pain and dying, he prayed for their forgiveness. Now, if there ever was a justification for anger, this horrible crucifixion of the most humble man to walk the earth had to be the one. Yet the Lord did not get angry. So, by his monumental forgiveness of those who murdered him, we know there is never justification for Ushulding Ottinger. He was sorrowful, with sorrow almost to death, knowing what would happen to him. And his reaction was sorrow at the colossal injustices he suffered, but not anger. Sorrow, not for himself, but sorrow for how wrong his errant children were. There are many who justify their anger, saying, "The Lord got angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple." My reply is, no, he was not angry like a man gets angry. He was under perfect control and knew exactly what he was doing. For said he never judged anything himself, but only as he heard the Father's judgments. Further, he only said what he heard the Father tell him to say, and only did what the Father showed him to do. The Lord judges, we are forbidden to judge. The Lord exacts vengeance, we are forbidden to do so. The Lord kills and makes alive, we are forbidden to take life. The Lord has his godly anger, in combination with grief and sorrow, against men who are religious hypocrites, still sinning. We are forbidden to be angry with anyone. Anger is the opposite of forgiveness. You cannot forgive someone and still be angry with them. Anger is a judgment that we make ourselves, and when we judge someone else critically, we suffer the same judgment. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Luke 6:37. Until we are perfected, we cannot help getting angry in some circumstances, but we must strive to rid ourselves of anger. From the word of the Lord within, do not be misled. Anger must be eliminated to enter the kingdom. This is not saying that nothing is wrong that anyone can do. I deplore wrongful acts, but those dealt out to me, I realize I must forgive the person and forget, otherwise I suffer even further. Love keeps no record of wrongs. John says, "Whoever who hates his brother has committed murder in his heart." 1 John 3:15. Anger is the opposite of forgiveness. You cannot forgive someone and still be angry with them. So, the solution is twofold. 1. To realize all anger is a false illusion to disguise your own failure to deal with an injustice by overlooking it. And when you find yourself swirling in recall of an injustice, to remember anger is false and stop entertaining it, no matter how logical it all seems. Your mind will try to convince you that this injustice is the exception and all anger is not wrong. But that is just your carnal, satanic, mind trying to justify itself. 2. More importantly, when you find yourself swirling in remembrance of injustice, to fervently pray for the person who wronged you. I pray for them to be helped to find true happiness. This is not praying for them to be happy in the midst of their wrongness, for despite appearances, they suffer for every injustice they deal out. I leave their route to happiness with God. I just want them to eventually be happy, and that is what I specifically pray for. Also pray for the Lord to help you be rid of the anger and resentment. There is another powerful tool in that prayer. Visualize yourself hugging and embracing that person with affection. If I have trouble doing this, I ask myself this question. Do I wish this person to suffer the pain of hell when I myself have done equal or worse things for which God has forgiven me? No, I would forgive everyone of every wrong done to me to prevent them from suffering in hell. And so, I then find it possible to visualize embracing them in love. You cannot imagine what a relief this is to be free from resentment in this manner, for blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matt 5:7. This prayer and visualization can be done while waiting on the Lord when the negative events come up for replay. Pause to remember there is no justification for anger and immediately start praying for those who have hurt you. This is how to receive the Lord's help, which is often necessary to help us remove the hurt from our heart so we can forget. William Penn has said, "When your neighbor wrongs you, do not resent him. Rather have pity for his lack of wisdom and understanding that would prevent his wrongful acts." We should make more haste to do right to our neighbor than we do to wrong him, and instead of being revengeful, we should leave him to be judge of his own satisfaction or dissatisfaction with his unjust acts. By mercy and truth, iniquity, sin, is purged from the heart. Prov 16:6. And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Matt 18:34-35. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory is to overlook a transgression. Pro 19:11. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James 1:19. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matt 6:14-15. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Luke 11:4. But now put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. Col 3:8. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. F 4:31. To pray for enemies helps us, and it also helps those who have hurt us. The Lord told us to love our enemies and pray for our enemies, to bless those who persecute us, to repay evil with good, because that not only helps us, it helps the enemy to see his faults and motivates him to change. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Rom 12:20-21. If you don't get angry at someone who is treating you wrong, your peace and love convict them of their wrongness on the spot. But if you get angry at someone who hurts you, all they see is your wrongness, and they feel even more justified in their injustice. The just, righteous shall live by faith. Rom 1:17, Heb 10:38. If you're seeking God as your first priority in life, the sooner you understand that everything that happens to you has been arranged to help you grow, the sooner you will be able to forgive, and the sooner you will be at peace, rather than angry or resentful. This life is an illusion. God is far more powerful and at work around you far more than you can imagine. For those whom he loves and calls, he controls everything around them. This arrangement of circumstances only occurs for those whom he loves and calls. And we know that all things, people included, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Rom 8:28. And if you have a deep hunger, he loves you and has called you. The hunger is his gift to you. It is his way of drawing you to him. So you will starve and mourn and starve and mourn, but you will eventually be filled and comforted. It works. Trust him. He created you. He is in you. He knows you much better than you do. He will change you to be like him, leading you to purity and then to union with him in the kingdom within, where you walk by the light of God. The word of the Lord within has told me, live in the fortress of faith where it doesn't matter if someone gives you a kiss or hits you with a baseball bat. Knowing everything that happens to me is totally under his control and direction. So if I get hit with a baseball bat, he is teaching me the necessity of forgiving, to ignore it, despite the pain suffered and wrongness of the person wielding the bat. Your life is an obstacle course, designed by God, for you to crawl over and through, learning to forgive and love despite the pain and injustice. This life is a boot camp to produce a soldier of love, whose weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the living Word of God. When you realize it is God who has allowed that person to be rude, ugly, and painful to you, you can easily forgive them because they are just an obstacle of potential resentment, whose offense is to be overlooked, or, if not overlooked, to produce the pain of resentment, thus being used by God to help you spiritually progress. How do I live in that fortress of faith? The word of the Lord within taught me to expect nothing. Therefore, I am not surprised or disappointed. I am not perfected, so sometimes I have to just remain quiet or withdraw. Other times, I am able to simply understand that what is happening to me is arranged by the Lord to help me overcome a problem I have. Then I can fall back on my faith and not react. I have to realize that I can't overcome a problem unless I am faced with the temptation to be angry and say something critical back. So I can see the injustice as just a test to help me grow, and it is much easier to forgive the person dispensing the injustice. However, from the word of the Lord within, if people want to make a bad choice decision, that's their prerogative. So, do not believe that God has caused someone around you to do something evil that affects you. He protects your life so that you can be completed, but he does not stop those around you from doing wrong. Others have written that when faced with any temptation, they simply flee to the Lord and depend on his grace. My wife has been taught by the Lord to just be sad when attacks occur, as the Lord himself reacted to the injustices he suffered. For me, I need to remind myself that what is happening is the Lord's will to help me grow, and that really works for me. I can relax and even internally smile when I remember that. Forgiveness is part of carrying your cross. To forgive is to deny your human nature that wants to strike back. Even if you don't actually strike, you want to. Denying that impulse and falling back on your faith to accept everything as from the hand of God is carrying the cross. Saying to yourself, "The Lord's will be done," which is the opportunity for my own growth in overlooking this offense, even if it is loved ones delivering the injustice, which makes you sad. Loved ones often treat us unjustly as a way to unconsciously control and manipulate us. As you cease to react, even if only with your eyes and facial expressions, they will not get the satisfaction of the control they were seeking and eventually drop their normal routine, searching for some other way to pull your chain. Expect your close family to be the source of many of your troubles because the Lord told us, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be those of his own household." Matt 10:34-36. He uses our family as the polishing stones of temptation, which are designed to grind off our rough edges until we are smooth. A man must want to please God more than to please his wife, children, friends, etc. Otherwise, that man cannot be a disciple of Jesus. A man must want the approval of God more than the approval of men, particularly your family. Do not ignore a command from the Lord because your family disapproves of your obeying it. If you do, you risk not hearing anything further from him. This is part of the cross, to suffer from your family's opposition. But this forces you to have patience, forgive, have mercy, love, and live by faith. From the word of the Lord within, after a man has demonstrated his faith, do I give him peace? The worst part about being attacked by members of your family is that they know you so well, their attack twists your innocent actions to look evil, and that can be frightening. Realize that is exactly the way the devil condemns us. He twists our actions into the worst possible light, accusing us of evil motivations, hoping to depress us, discourage us, or make us angry. When you have been under instruction from the Lord for a while, he will tell you, "Let no one judge you. He is the only judge." Paul said he didn't even judge himself. Remember that people are only trying to pull your chain and get the satisfaction of making you angry or depressed. Your best defense is to remain calm. The Lord has told us, drop out of the conversation, let their words go over your head. After you drop out, with no one fighting back, some will abandon their attack. Others will continue. When they pause, calmly leave. If you get angry, withdraw at the earliest moment and then remember your faith. The Lord has told us, don't stand in front of volcanoes. volcanoes being angry people erupting, calmly withdraw at the first pause. Why should you listen to irrational angry people? When people are angry, they are taken over by their emotions. What they say is not what they would say without anger. It is their anger that speaks, not themselves. Anger is irrational, so don't bother to consider if what they are saying is true. When you leave, you might, only if you think the subject needs resolution, say to them, "When you have calmed down, I am available to discuss this further, but it is pointless to continue our discussion now." There are some people who have been conditioned by their upbringing to think that if someone is angry at them, it is their fault. Others are conditioned to fight back. Both are equally wrong. Drop out. If that doesn't work, walk away. Forgiveness, mercy, and not judging are all related. Judge not so that you are not judged. Matt 7:1. To judge and be judged is not God punishing you. Rather, it is you punishing yourself by harboring resentment that results from your judging. You can't correctly judge someone because you have not walked in their shoes, but God has from the time they were born. He has witnessed every word, every thought, every action, every incident in their lives. So only He can understand their background enough to make a correct judgment. For example, there was a study made of prostitutes, male and female, on the streets of San Francisco, and the overwhelming majority of them had been raped by a member of their family at an early age. A child that is raped often feels that they were somehow partially guilty for what happened. Then they begin thinking that they are no good and only fit to repeat the error with others. God would know all those circumstances in exact detail, including all the thoughts they ever had. He also has a record of every anonymous pleading He ever made with each of us to depart from evil. So He could make a correct decision regarding such a person, but it is impossible for us to do the same. There is an old Indian proverb, "Never judge a man until you have walked a mile in his moccasins." God has been with us every step throughout everyone's lives, but we haven't taken one step with them. So only God is capable of rightly judging others' behavior. If your neighbor wrongs you, forgive him and resist anger by turning to sadness for his lack of wisdom that you have been fortunate enough to receive. Recently, I was beyond disappointed in someone I had attempted to help. The word of the Lord within said to me, "He is of the same earth as you," which caused me to consider that both he and I were created beings from one blood and one mold, and that I really didn't know his background of experiences that might have programmed him to have certain weaknesses. Further, I could begin to see that it is without foundation for one created being to be critical of any other created being. Later, I heard the word of the Lord within say, "Your challenge is to consider yourself equal with everyone else." Thinking about this, I understood the only difference between myself and everyone else was that I had been taught wisdom, and everyone else will be taught wisdom too, some later than others. But eventually, as Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God." John 6:45. Another related teaching we have had from the Lord is that those people still locked in sin are just spiritually younger than us. Their spiritual maturity is yet to come, and most will not mature until the next life. See is their hope for all for more on the next life's learning process. I concluded that my disappointment was really veiled anger at his failure, and I had no right to conclude that just because I could clearly see myself doing right, my life's experiences were totally different than his. And so, I had no idea of the emotional pulls and tugs that he had to deal with because of his past experiences. So, I worked at ignoring his weakness and failure, substituting compassion for the price he continues to pay, and then I heard the word of the Lord within say, "Love mercy." Like the warnings on judging, anger, and forgiveness, so too we are warned to be merciful. He who has shown no mercy will receive judgment without mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13 from the word of the Lord within, "Never speak critically of any individual or any organization, no matter how deserving of criticism they are, and be blind to others' oppressive faults. Especially be blind to your fellow believers, those who believe in the true gospel, have the true hope, and who are fervently seeking the kingdom, oppressive faults, which we all have until we have been purified. When you have sufficient Spirit of God within you, you may be specifically prompted with words from God to pass judgment on someone else in particular. But that would not be you judging, that would be God. Just like Jesus did not judge himself, "Of my own self I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear," John 5:30. "Whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me to speak." John 12:49-50. The Son can do nothing of himself by his own will, but only does what he sees the Father do, John 5:19. Do you have trouble not getting angry at injustices? If so, then expect more injustice to come your way, because that is how you are going to get cured. The Lord works on us, one problem at a time, until we are cured from the pain of failure. And even after we are cured, we will get occasional mini refresher courses to remind us of the reward of forgiving or the pain of resentment. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and His kingdom.